Southwest Key is a name we've heard in the news a lot in recent months as President Trump's zero-tolerance policy at the border resulted in the separation of thousands of migrant families there. More children than ever needed to be housed, and Southwest Key took them in.
But the nonprofit organization has had its share of controversy, from housing children in a Walmart to failing to provide proof that its workers were properly background checked here in Arizona. The state health department threatened to revoke Southwest Key's license to operate in the state after that. A former worker at one of its shelters here was also recently convicted of sexually abusing teenage boys at a shelter here.
And now a New York Times investigation uncovers more questionable activity by the nonprofit. And for more on that, I'm joined by Kim Barker via Skype. She's one of the reporters on the story. And Kim, while we've heard a lot about Southwest Key in the news lately, especially here in Arizona, this company's been operating for quite some time. Tell us how it began.
Well, Juan Sanchez founded Southwest Key back in 1987, actually out of his mother's house in Brownsville. And the aim of the charity in the very beginning was to do juvenile justice reform and try to keep juveniles who got in trouble with the law in the community. Dr. Sanchez has told us that he started it in a way to help his friends, the kids he grew up with who had dreams of becoming scientists and engineers and football coaches who ended up getting in trouble and getting sent into institutions. Mm-hmm. And so he actually started the charity for an entirely different reason, for juvenile justice. And then as the migrant children's crisis, you know, became an issue, as children had to have their own shelters, Southwest Key gotten involved in that business slowly at first, and then in recent years, particularly since 2013, has just become the juggernaut of these migrant children's shelters.
Mm-hmm. How big is it today?
Well, it runs 24 of the shelters in the country. There are about 100 sites where migrant kids are kept, and it houses up to 5,000 kids. So it's by far the largest provider of these services in the country.
Wow. Okay. And in this story, you did a lot of research on Juan Sanchez himself, the president of this company, and he's made a lot of money in this endeavor. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. So Mr. Sanchez, you know, in the very beginning, it's a nonprofit, right? And there's a lot of argument over how much a leader of a nonprofit should make, particularly a nonprofit that is funded almost entirely by taxpayer dollars. It seems like as the amount of money that the charity has pulled in from taxpayers grows, so do the salaries of the very top people of the organization. And last year, in fact, in the last tax return that is available, Mr. Sanchez made about $1.5 million. The chief financial officer, Melody Chung, made about $1 million. Mr. Sanchez's wife made $500,000. And the amount that the salaries are supposed to be capped at from migrant shelter grants was $187,000 at the time. So you could sort of see the difference here. And we can't say for certain that this is somehow against the law, right? Because the charity has come up with these really novel ways of being able to raise money elsewhere or sort of clean the money that it's raising through for-profits that it's formed so that it's able to actually pay these kind of salaries, which are very high compared to other charities doing similar work. Mr. Sanchez and Ms. Chung have also made money in other ways. We identified one shelter site in Conroe, Texas, where Mr. Sanchez and Ms. Chung were sort of silent partners with a real estate broker friend of theirs and bought this former boarding school in a neighboring plot a few years later for a total of almost $950,000, and then have since then taken in almost $3 million in rent.
Wow. And this is, like you said, funded almost entirely by taxpayer money. And they've also come under scrutiny for some of the ways that they operate, right? Like I'm thinking of the one shelter that's in an abandoned Walmart, things like that. What kind of criticisms have they faced?
I mean, you know, I think that advocates for children feel that having children stay at a place that's almost warehousing them is not a good idea. There are more than 1,400 kids essentially at that Walmart. Not a lot of windows. There are real strict rules about how often they're let outside. Although you could argue that that's preferable to keeping them in a tent city where all the overflow of kids are going now. in the desert in West Texas. As you guys are very, very familiar with, you know, you've had two shelters that were voluntarily shut down recently as part of a settlement agreement with Arizona. And you have other allegations at two different shelters of sexual abuse involving staff members against migrant children. And, you know, at the same time all of this is happening, there's just really a sense from Mr. Sanchez that these are minor things, that missing the deadline in Arizona to submit background checks was a very small minor thing. And that I think should be troublesome to people, because, you know, we are talking about children. And yes, it's very difficult. Like, I'm not going to get inside one of these shelters. You're not going to get inside one of these shelters to actually see what's happening.
Yeah.
But you want who's doing this to not consider this to be minor.
So let's talk about oversight then. I mean, these are government contracts. Yeah. Who's regulating this?
Well, that's a very good question. These grants and these shelters are regulated under something called the Office of Refugee Resettlement, which is under Health and Human Services. And it seems like for years, and what we found in our reporting, is this crisis just kind of exploded in 2013, 2014. And it seems like there just wasn't a lot of attention paid to how the money was being spent. Like, it was more about, like, we got to find a place to put these kids. We have to find a way to handle this explosion, right? And so only recently it seems like they're taking a deeper look at how exactly the money is being spent.
Are there any investigations at this point into Southwest Key or any repercussions for any of this?
I don't know of any investigations going into Southwest Key, but the story ran Sunday. I do know that Southwest Key has told us that they're launching their own internal investigation. They're hiring an outside law firm to basically take a look at the allegations in the story, and they're going to also get some accountants to look at the things that we identified.
All right. That's Kim Barker, a reporter with The New York Times. Kim, thank you so much for joining us to tell us about this.
Thank you so much for having me.